Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power,
fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
Now then, much to discuss with Pat Nevin. We'll talk United Liverpool in a few moments' time, but Frank Lampard making all the headlines today. 42 years of age, Frank. And he knew this day would probably come at Chelsea one way or another. As it happens, it's come 18 months into his three-year contract. Thomas Tuchel will take over, recently departed of PSG. Chelsea obviously beat Luton 3-1 yesterday, but Lampard's fate was already sealed. Six losses in the Premier League thus far, five in their last eight, 11 points off top spot, and this after £220 million was spent over the summer. The music we played can only mean one thing. Pat Nevin, evening.
Good evening, Joe, and good evening, everyone. How are we doing?
Good decision, bad decision?
Wouldn't have been the decision I made, considering what I'd done last season. I think getting fourth last season with not being able to spend any money, losing Hazard, bringing all the young kids through. So getting top four was really quite good and quite enjoyable football last season. Got to the FA Cup final, got to beyond the group stages in Europe. Started this season, 6 weeks ago, top of the league. And then suddenly, in a short period of time, you have a bad spell. And if you compare it, 2 weeks before that, you know, when Frank was at the top of the league, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was in 15th place with Manchester United. Mm. And the madness of this league is that anything like that can happen in any period of time. Chelsea have not been playing well recently, and they've looked a bit rudderless and shapeless. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anyone would argue with that. And definitely not getting the best out of certain players, quite specifically Werner and Havertz. Mm. So there's ups and downs, positives and negatives. But, you know, to go this period of time and be kind of successful as you're building something that was suggested at the start of his tenure that that's what's going to happen. You're going to be brought in. Bring in the kids, bring in new players, but make sure they're pretty young, most of them, and you can build something for the future. And wasn't it far off target for the vast majority of that time? So to then very suddenly just pull the rug from under them, at any other club, I'd be absolutely shocked. At Chelsea, of course we're not. Of course we're not shocked at all. And the two caveats are, we know there was problems in the team recently. The biggest caveat being, this is how Chelsea do it. And they change their managers every year or two. And it's hell of a successful for them. You know, and I wouldn't argue that this could actually work out very well for them because they might get Tuchel in and they might do incredibly well. I wouldn't be surprised if he does well because there's a good squad there. Mm. But it seems desperately unfair in Frank Lampard. But hey, said that about a few managers before.
So I know you liked Lampard and thought he was doing a pretty good job in the main. If there was an argument, maybe not to sack him, because I take your point on how early it is in his reign to sack him. If there was an argument, not so much not to sack him, but against him, if there was a question mark brewing, what might that have been if I had to ask you to kind of summon that argument?
Oddly, here's an odd thing. I was at Everton last night, the Everton game against Sheffield Wednesday, and they named a team. And I thought, oh, you've picked your best team. I can't remember saying that about Chelsea for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is. And the squad isn't that balanced way that you know what the best ones are. You know, everyone playing well, I could probably have a good go, a decent go of what the best team is. Whereas you look to Everton, you know what their identity is. You know the direction is. You know that when it's not going that direction, they've got a manager in Ancelotti who will find another way and be competitive that way. And I just think it was a wee bit more difficult. It didn't seem that way for Frank and for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest argument to me. And you look at quite closely at the statement that Chelsea released, it was that suggestion of they couldn't see the direction either. And that's the argument against it. And I think they were fairly upfront about it, Chelsea, weren't they? They're kind of quite clear about what they thought. And it actually was quite harsh, that, to say we couldn't see the direction that we'd go. We didn't say that wording, but that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
And do you know what? There's an argument there. There is. I like Frank, and I'm on Frank's side, and I would love Frank to stay, and I'd have kept him on. But I absolutely accept that as a point of view.
Yeah, no, there is an argument there. Because you can imagine, as to your point about the fact that this has been a successful model for Chelsea, even though it goes against the great advice of football worldwide to give your manager time, it has been so successful. And, you know, they've won 2 Premier League titles in the last 5 years. You know, you don't think of Chelsea as being that successful, but they won one in 15, they won one in 17. And you could imagine a more experienced manager than Lampard, like Conte, to go back to a recent example, pitching up, looking at that group of players and magicking up the formula, you know, unlocking the potential that's clearly there. And that is the argument against Lampard. The argument against still is that if you give him more time, he would have got there. The problem is they hired somebody with no CV. It's a bit like the Solskjaer thing. What are you putting your faith in that this is the man to get you through the sticky part? United have stuck. Chelsea have said, well, we're done.
I think it comes down to a word, time. Are you willing to give people time? Chelsea aren't and haven't been.
Yeah.
I just thought this was the one time they would do differently. Just because all the things that were said at the start, because of the types of signings, because of the way that they encourage bringing those kids on. I mean, Mount has done pretty well. Abraham's done really well. And Patches is, just scores a hat trick at the weekend. That's not too bad either. Reece James, he's had really phenomenal moments as well. And Hudson-Odoi's coming back onto a little bit of lift as well. You see that we Billy and Gilmore in the midfield, I mean, he looks as if he's just about to come. But all of them are still, I would say, a year away, maybe a bit more, from being the fully fledged thing. And they still have got that youthfulness, and the mistakes of youthfulness, and the inability to control games that youthful players can sometimes have. And they may well have got that, and they may well still get that. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. But it's kind of painful. And if you're a Chelsea fan and you're not saddened, then you're not a Chelsea fan at this point in time. And that's the one thing I'd say about it. The one thing you mentioned, in fact, and I've always said this, and I've said it to you many times over the years, it's a system that works. It's a methodology that works. Real Madrid have done it, and for many years it worked for them. But, and it's got a massive but attached to it, it is one expensive way to do it. And it will lead to massive mistakes. Because the next manager comes in, be it Thomas Tuchel or whoever, right? There is no chance that he's going to say, I'm going to build that young player up. Why would he do that? There's no reason why you should do that. You've got to get, as Mourinho did, the players on the pitch. As everyone else did, get the players on the pitch. Kids, tough luck. Got to wait. Because I'll lose my job if you don't. Downside of that, the biggest downside, there's two downsides to that. One downside of that is those kids don't develop as quickly and might never develop as well as they should have done. The second downside of that is you miss good young players, such as De Bruyne, such as Salah. You don't wait, and you can't wait because the manager's not getting any opportunity to wait. And I've just got a hope that the football club understand that. You know, that had they sat and waited with whatever manager it had been, and allowed De Bruyne to develop, and allowed Salah to develop, and given somebody 3 or 4 years. Look at what you could have now. It might have been you'd put 9 duds alongside them to still be a brilliant team. And that's the kind of upsetting thing. People are short-termist in this game, in this world, just now. And it's got a downside, and it really has got a downside.
The briefing and counter-briefing has begun in earnest, as always happens with these things. So, for instance, between The Athletic and The Mail, I'm reading that the club were unhappy with his treatment of Kepa. They felt he could have rehabilitated Kepa with the right man management. Lampard wanted rid of Rudiger, didn't rate him, and the hierarchy there didn't go along with that. Lampard wanted Rice. There was a nervousness, it seems, at hierarchical level over spending 70 million quid on a player they released as a teen. Marina Granovskaya.
Granitskaya.
Yes, thank you very much. So she's become an unbelievable, powerful person at the club, at board meetings informally since 2010, and now very much an official voice. It seems her and Lampard were clashing. I don't know the truth of any of that. And equally, I don't know to what extent, Pat, and maybe you've more of an inside track on this, Ziyech, Mendy, we know Lampard wanted a keeper, but Ziyech, Werner, Havertz, Chilwell, are these Lampard signings? Is he totally on board with this? These are the players he wants? Because, you know, if it's an imbalanced squad, then someone has to take the blame for that, and it may not be Lampard.
There is absolutely no way of knowing. None at all.
Okay.
You can guess. You can be hypothetical arguments about it. You mentioned all those names. There's another name you need to throw in there. Mm. It's better check. So, you know, you've now got per bases at different parts of the club. Now, as I say, I've worked in smaller clubs, but I've worked in those situations where you've got executive director of football, manager, chairman, owner, all that sort of stuff. There are power bases. And see if they're not all pushing in the same direction and want the same things and have a shared belief and a shared vision, you've got a problem. And the only way to overcome that problem is quite simple. You trust in one. Now, our attitude is generally we trust in the manager. That's the kind of this part of the water kind of way, you know. Over in the other side of the English Channel towards Europe, other teams don't do that. I mean, PSG don't necessarily do that. Real Madrid definitely didn't do that for years as well. Mm. So there are different methodologies and different ways of looking at it. I think Bayern, for a period of time, they were absolutely, the manager was there as a, he wasn't the manager, he was a coach. Yeah, we'll do the managing, you do the coaching. And maybe that's where you fall between two stools in that situation. Problem is with Chelsea and one or two other clubs, you have no idea where the power base is from the outside. And I would absolutely be stunned if you ever find that out. Even Frank goes or whoever's gone, funny they never speak about it, innit? Because they won't be allowed to speak about it when they leave and the agreements they make when they leave. It takes you to another point, if I can slightly go off a tiny little tangent on it, but still about Chelsea. Very noticeable for the first time ever, Roman Abramovich's name was on the statement. He was actually talking. Now, that's actually stunning because he doesn't do that. Yes, and well done with a picture there. You guys are good. But he said that because this was the time where it couldn't be a collegiate decision. The board said, right? Because as you suggest, someone's going to point to Marina. Someone's going to point to Petter. Someone's going to point to the new chief executive. Someone's going to point to the chairman. There's only one person that can take this hit. It's only one.
Yeah.
It's only Roman. Because Roman, as every Chelsea fan knows, we know that he put in all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds. And with his methodology and his money, Chelsea are a million times bigger, better, and more successful club than they were without it. So you don't shrug and accept it, but you harumph a wee bit.
Yeah.
But they will accept it.
He's cashing in some chips on this one. He's pulling rank. So there you go. Mm. I mean, you just wonder. They must not have seen a way out of this if they couldn't have given him another 6 months. You know, Abramovich is talking in the statement about the excellent personal relationship he has with Frank, and I have the utmost respect for him. So it's a personal one in this instance. Thomas Tuchel's coming in. I mean, there had been talk they wanted German experience, not least because of Werner and Havertz. So they've got it. Now, so two questions in one on Tuchel. One, is he going to see the magic formula that Lampard couldn't see? Is he going to find the best team that really works? And secondly, I mean, all I've heard the last 2 years is Leonardo and Thomas Tuchel at war with each other at PSG. Like, Tuchel does not take orders lying down. And he fell out with the board at Dortmund as well. He won the cup in his last kind of week at Dortmund, and he was at war with them as well and left in similar circumstances. So Dortmund, PSG, he's got a nice track record here of not liking when he's told what to do. So he's pitched up at Chelsea.
Yeah. It does sound a wee bit like a marriage made in hell in that way. But that doesn't mean it won't work. You know, it's every chance. I thought Mourinho got his Spurs was a... You know, that's another marriage made in hell. There's two personalities that are going to absolutely explode in each other one day. You know, but one day. Mm. But, you know, in Spurs' case, they would hope it's 3 or 4 years down the line. And Chelsea, maybe they just shrug their shoulders and say, well, it'll happen in 18 months or 2 years' time, and that's fine, that's okay, we'll get the next one in. You know, just it would be nice where, you know, it's... I mean, I would say outrageous things like, see someone like Stevie Clark, who's currently the Scotland manager, who just technically does everything quietly, not trying to be showy, not doing anything. See if you stuck him in with that group of players and people go, oh, he's not a big enough name. Have a look at who that guy has worked with over the years and how he's coached and who he's got the best out of, you know, when he was the number two, even before he'd got the number one job in a number of places. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody, him would have done a brilliant job. There was lots of talk about Brendan Rodgers being the manager. Well, I suspect he will be someday. You know, that's not really that big a call, is it? Like, you get a manager every 2 years and somebody like Brendan who does really well. So there's plenty out there that they can have a go for. The one person that probably has dropped away down the queue who was probably quite high for a while there was John Terry. And his queue jumped away down because they've tried the rookie manager one. It may well be that someone like John Terry is thinking to himself, I'm going to do it the other way. I'm going to do it the kind of Steven Gerrard kind of way. I'm going to take my time, learn all the ropes, do it through three or four clubs or whatever. Small, lower league even when he takes his first managerial position. And when the time's right, he'll take it. Frank didn't wait. And it may now feel as if it was the wrong thing from his point of view, because had he waited 7, 8, 9 years, he might have said to himself, well, it might never happen. It might never come. Yeah, we'll always be there in Chelsea. There'll always be opportunities.
Yeah, I can see why he did it, though, because if he does 7, 8, 9 years, which are okay, then maybe he doesn't get the Chelsea job, and it's hard to turn it down when you have an opportunity to jump so many rungs in the ladder if you do a good job at Chelsea. And where he pitches up next actually is really interesting.
I still don't think, I mean, people have, one or two people have said to me today, like, well, who's going to take the job now? I mean, that's the job, that's becoming a poison chalice. Things about chalices, they're made out of gold usually, and they're really, really valuable. And so is that job, very valuable. And, you know, the payoffs in themselves is not bad. So, you know, the downside of that job is actually not massive.
No, I don't think people hold it against you too much for getting sacked at Chelsea, and it's the easiest 10 million in your life.
Yeah, A, that, and B, people will, when this calms down over a few days, and people will remember back in time, because it will calm down, and they'll think, Frank, what did you do? Actually, that first year was really good, and you developed a lot of young players, and the style was quite exciting, and you did a good start to the second season, then you had a bad little period. I think that still leaves her CV in a decent place, okay, a very decent place.
We've about 3-4 minutes here. So, Old Trafford, where do you want to start? I want to start with how serious is this for Liverpool all of a sudden? What's jumping out to you?
The thing that I've been, I really have to carefully choose my words all the time here. What I've been expecting to happen to Liverpool for such a long time. And hands up, I thought it was happening 2 years ago. I thought it was happening last year. But that limited squad is going to come home to roost. You need real quality in the end. And it's just keeping it up for all this time. And by the way, this is not an abuse of Liverpool. This is a wow of Liverpool. How they managed to keep it going for quite so long is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And then you looked at their bench and you compared their bench to like City or even Chelsea. You know, and you think, how are you doing that? It's incredible. It's been brilliant. But it will come home to roost, and it has now. They're not getting another centre-back, you know, to cover for Van Dijk, who's obviously going to come home to roost as well. Are they going to suddenly become a terrible team? And no, they're not. They're going to be okay, but are they favourites to win this league? No, they're not. I would, honestly, you know, predictions are daft at the moment, but I mean, I would, if I had to put money on, I'd put more money in United than I'd put Liverpool at the moment for this league, this season. Just because of, you know, the way the team looks really balanced. And we've talked so many times, but what a different team when Pogba decides to put in the effort. It's extraordinary. You may look up now, you know, I mentioned the show a few weeks ago. Keep watching that guy. See when he plays and he plays a pass and then moves, he's brilliant. See when he plays a pass and then stands and watches it, you're playing with 10 men half the time. And I'm trying to get in my head the reasons why. And I think a lot of people feel, he looked at Bruno Fernandes and thought, well, he's the big cheese now, and I want to be the big man. I want to be the main man. And it's kind of riled him. And I think there's also a bit of a looking at McTominay beside him and saying, all right, okay, that kid's doing the stuff that I should be doing work rate-wise. If I do the work rate that McTominay does, and I've got the skills on top of that I've got, you know, I could do something really special. And it's taken a while to get through. So you stick him on top. And as was said, someone said last night, I was chatting to him about the game after watching it, Cavani was, in fact, it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that said it, Cavani's a really clever player.
Oh, My favorite thing is when Cavani loses his temper at some of the youngsters making bad decisions, because he can see it all.
Yeah, and he is. He's so clever. He's clever in every way. He's clever and intelligently knowing where to make the runs. He's holding up the balls good. He's dragging people, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But getting that free kick, I mean, seriously. Honestly. Defender standing there doing nothing almost.
Yeah.
And he's lying on the ground and he's got the free kick. That's got them the goal. That's got them through. And it's, you know, I mean, I personally, in times gone by, I wouldn't give a free kick for it.
Yeah.
But you get free kicks for that now. So he is clever. And so that I'm impressed with. And I mean, as you well know, and as anyone's listened to us for a while, I've never had a downer in Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. And I certainly didn't think he should be sacked at a time when everyone was screaming at the top of the rooftops at the start of the season.
Mm.
But he has slightly surprised me doing as well as he has.
It's going very well. Nobody's injured. Everyone's confident. I mean, it's everything that Lampard didn't have. I mean, momentum is all important. They do look like a bunch who are, you know, just on a roll, and they go behind in a game and it's not a big deal. On Pogba, very last one briefly. It was interesting. It was him and McTominay yesterday as opposed to McTominay and Fred, and we don't trust you to be one of those two midfielders. Almost like a trial for him. Well, let's see. You've been looking a bit better. Go in there and see. Can we trust you in there? Can they trust him in there, do you think, medium term for the rest of the season in those bigger games?
I just watch him in training, watch him in every game, and if he drops it, he drops it. If he drops it, you move him out again.
Yeah.
And just that's it. Simple as that. The problem with Pogba and one or two other types of players, the kid gloves approach just doesn't work. It really doesn't work, and treating them specially different from anyone else. You're a footballer, mate. If you're the best player for that moment and you're putting in the effort and the time, you get a game. If you don't, you shouldn't. And I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has shown that. And because he's shown that so, you know, I was going to say strongly, but just calmly.
Yeah, calmly.
Just very calm.
Yeah.
Just I'll do that, and it won't bother me. And I think the penny's dropped. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if between now and the end of the season, Pogba can see a title flag. And I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks at it. And, you know, hands up, I'm the person that will immediately say when he's not doing it. But I'm a big enough person to say, yeah, he is doing it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm really impressed, but I really like it.
Okay, Pat, look forward to chatting to you about Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea over the next month or so and see how it's going. Thanks, Emil.
Never be boring.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.